Like we know there is only one man known of God. In the beginning, God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. See, God does not do things two times. He does things once. Praise God. And that which God does is perfect. And that man that God created was created in his image and in his likeness. Oh, hallelujah. That man will become the embodiment of God. That man represents God himself enjoying in his creation. We ourselves at times, don't we do that? We try to create an environment for ourselves where we can have leisure, where we can play, we can enjoy ourselves, isn't it? Praise God. So is God projecting himself in man? Praise God. And the scope of the Bible is to remind us or to educate us that we are part of that man. Hallelujah. That is the scope of the gospel, the evangel. To remind us that we are part of that celestial man that has been from the beginning. Praise God. This is a glorious man that knows nothing like death and corruptibility. In him lies incorruption, incorruptibility, and immortality. In him there is no consciousness, no experience of the thing we call hell and death. Because he's ever one with God and the Father. They are not two things, they are one thing. The Father and the Son are one. Praise God. They are one. They are one thing. The Father and the Son are one. John calls him the true God and eternal life, the Son. Paul the Apostle says, in him lies the fullness of the Godhead. Praise God. John the Baptist said, the Father loves the Son and has given all things unto the Son. All things unto the Son. All things. Not some things, but all things. Oh, praise God. When you say all things, you're talking of all dominion, all authority. Everything that is God's has been given what is to the Son. Oh, praise God. And God gives us a picture of the Son ruling in the glory of the Father. In Genesis chapter 2, as he places man in the Garden of Eden. That man in the Garden of Eden represents the image and the likeness of God. It represents man walking in that original design that was from the foundation of the world. That is what we see in the book, in Genesis chapter 2. In the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasures, where you have dust of gold. Oh, hallelujah. Where you have streams flowing with milk and honey. A place of sapphires. A place of bedlam manna. Bread in abundance. Hallelujah. A place of joy. Of gladness. A place of all power and all dominion. That is the sun reigning in the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. But we see something occurs as the son, who is Adam, begins to commune with the serpent. Adam, who once lived by the breath of God, who was once vitalized, instructed, who received wisdom from the tree of life, now received from the breath of Satan, which is the knowledge of the of good and evil, which is the that knowledge that comes from the serpent of the dust, which is nothing but the wisdom of mortal man of the dust. The moment Adam receives that doctrine, that lie, of the serpent, which is actually wisdom of man, inspiration for man, he was conformed into the image of the mortal man of the dust. Adam became a creature of the dust. Adam lost consciousness of his true, immortal, incorruptible nature for that of a mortal and corruptible nature. Praise God. Now, when you look around today and you see the groaning and the suffering of men, you are just simply beholding men who have been nourished by the breath or from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are looking at men who have been quickened, who have been, you know, energized by the breath of Satan, from the depths of Satan, which is the wisdom of this material, visible, carnal realm. Praise God. That is what you are seeing today in this world. Hallelujah. God is not the author of hell. God is not the author of suffering. Oh, hallelujah. God is not the author of the numerous ills we see in the world today. Man is the author of death. Man who is walking in the lie, or in the lie of this age, of this lower realm called the world. Hallelujah. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of men. which is the wisdom of man, has blinded the eyes of the people so that they do not recognize the substance of God in them. So that they lose out on God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Something strange happened when Adam transgressed. Something happened that, you know, goes very much unnoticed by even many Christian brethren today. But God wants to reveal this secret to us today. If you come quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 3. From verse 17, just to save time. By now we all should know the curses to Adam as he transgressed. Adam's transgression was fellowship with darkness. See it? And as you fellowship with darkness, you lose all awareness of yourself in light. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, this is a curse unto Adam. He said, behold, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curse the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Praise God. So what we just read is a spiritual trend that occurs in all men who are living the Adam experience. Adam transgressed by receiving the knowledge of this age and conforming himself to this world. Adam became a mortal man of the dust, losing all awareness of his true celestial state. Praise God. Bearing in mind that unconsciously all men, from the moment they are born into this world, are fed with the knowledge of good and evil. They are fed with this wisdom of this age that tries to attach them to the outer world. The wisdom of this age that negates your true spiritual identity. Oh, hallelujah. Just imagine if a child is born into this world and immediately begins to receive spiritual teaching and immediately begins to receive knowledge from the Spirit of God. You see, that child will never go through the suffering and the anguish and the pain that many people go through in this world. See, but unfortunately, it's not so. When you are born into a family, see, your parents tell you that you are this, you are that, that you must do this way to survive, you must walk this way to survive, and they generally teach you the ways of this world. See it? Some people enter deeper into the realms of religion, which is another powerful tool of the enemy. See, that ties people to religious beliefs that have nothing to do with the true God. Beliefs that have nothing to do with the revelation of the image of God in you. Praise God. Religion is just nothingness. Religion is just a tool in the hand of the devil to make people go around in circles. Praise God. And apparently people who with imprints of religion, people who are instructed, instructed or groomed in the ways of religion, it's normally very difficult for them to awaken the reality of the truth when the time comes. Because their religious beliefs hold them bound to the lie. See, the religious beliefs veils them so that they do not recognize their true substance. Hallelujah. Bear it in mind. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible, all men are sinners. All men have become corrupt. There's no man upon the earth that can say he's not a sinner. But today Jesus is giving us the keys to find escape. Escape from a sinful nature. Escape from a corruptible nature. Escape from mortality. Praise God. Escape from a nature that is contrary to that of God. Praise God. We are beginning to discover that immortality and light is actually the true consciousness that we walked in the beginning. We walked in that light consciousness, in that consciousness of light, spiritually invisible consciousness that is there forever. But all that was covered or hidden from our sight by the teachings of this world. Hallelujah. That's why you read in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. What does that mean? The Lord God clothed Adam and Eve in the state of their transgression. Bear it in mind that all the happenings that occurs after the transgression point to a veiling process and a casting out from the realm of God's glory and perfection. The moment Adam took of the knowledge of good and evil, the veiling process began. So so that Adam now started to walk in the lie, he put on a consciousness of flesh and blood. That is the coat skin. That is the skin of coat that was wrapped all around Adam. Somebody will ask, but can God cover? Can God some actually wrap somebody with the animal skin? If you have deep spiritual insights, you will understand that God that wrapped up Adam is simply the God that Adam formulated for himself in the state of his transgression. It is the God that Adam formulated for himself from the beliefs that he received from the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. Because God is light. God does not hide himself from anybody. God does not veil any man. God is not the author of death. That which veils man is the God of this world. Praise God. That which veils man is simply the God of this world, which is all a formation of from the mind of man. Hallelujah. The beliefs of Adam, the belief that Adam received from the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. The belief that Adam received from the breath of Satan, of the serpent, is that which clothed Adam, or rather veiled him, covered him in another consciousness. That coat of skin, of animal skin, represents a consciousness of flesh and blood. That hid Adam's true nature. Hallelujah. It hid Adam's incorruptible and immortal nature from the foundation of the world. And so that Adam started walking, you know, in a flesh and blood consciousness, where he's bound now to the elements of this natural realm. He becomes a slave to corruption. See it? And when you are a slave to corruption, therein comes the lusts. Hallelujah. And when the lusts have, you know, grown in you, it conceives sin. See, and when you sin, death comes in. So you see, Adam now finds himself trapped in a flesh and blood consciousness, and he doesn't know his way out. See, and in the flesh and blood consciousness is there you have all the anguish of soul. See, the need to struggle. See it? Is then you lose all consciousness of God your Father. See, God does not drive anybody from his presence. Your beliefs will drive you from his presence. See it? Your conscience, your defiled conscience will drive you from the presence of God. And your beliefs will also drive you from the presence of God. Your religious beliefs, your beliefs about what you are, who you are, your origin, and everything about yourself, those beliefs that you've gotten from this, the wisdom of this age, are the things that simply clothe you in a, you know, clothe man in a flesh and blood consciousness, and consequently drive him away from God's presence. See, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Living out of God's presence is tribulation, is hell. It's a place of wasting, it's a place of destruction. See it? It's a realm where hell knows no bound. People are continuous, you know, go down continuously in recline into death. Hallelujah. Many people have sought solutions to their problems. Many people have sought ways to get back to God, to know God. They've tried religious means. See it. But the more you try those tactics of men and religion, the more you discover a void between you and God, because the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot approach God's presence. See it. Flesh and blood, along with his corruptible, filthy, and defiled conscience, cannot approach God. It's impossible. Flesh and blood can't please God. Flesh and blood cannot come to the place where he says, I do the things that please God. It's impossible. Oh, hallelujah. But the thing that sets us free, the thing that causes us to get back into God's paradise, praise God, is simply by putting on that consciousness of light, that incorruptible, immortal consciousness that we walked in the beginning with the Father. That is the only way we can get back into his presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. But first of all, that covering has to be removed. Praise God. That covering of animal skin, that human consciousness of flesh and blood, immaterial consciousness, has to be removed. Praise God. And this comes by receiving the truth. Oh, hallelujah. The will of God is to destroy this veil, this covering that has covered the nations and caused the people of God to groan on their beds in hell. Oh, hallelujah. God is rising right now in this hour by his right hand to destroy that veil or that covering of skin that is wrapped around his people. He's removing that consciousness of flesh and blood so that the people can enter in back into the place of life. Hallelujah. He's moving in this hour to destroy death, swallow up death in victory. This is the victory that he has promised, and he will bring it to pass in his people. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 25. Verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all men a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Praise God. That is the covering of the consciousness of flesh and blood that has hidden our true identities all along. Praise God. God is stripping off that veil right now. He's removing that covering. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He removes that covering by giving us truth. As we feast on the truth. Hallelujah. As we ascend upon his holy hill, which is Zion, and feast on the truth, the Lord removes the veil. Hallelujah. Feasting on the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Feasting on the truth. Hallelujah. Receiving the truth from the Lord and rejecting the lie of the beliefs that we've received from the moment we entered into this world. Hallelujah. It's what we rip off that veil, that covering over us, that animal skin covering, that beastly covering. Praise God. This is the work of God. God does not veil any man. God unveils men. That's the work of God. See, we should have a true understanding of the will of God, the mind of God, the nature of God. Praise God. Otherwise, we have a very negative impression of what God is. And the impression of what God is eventually affects us. Oh, praise God. It's what you see as your God that you conform unto. Praise God. So the will of God is to unveil us, to remove that covering of skin, so that we can realize that life that we lost in the beginning. Hallelujah. As that covering is removed, we will discover our true light, you know, characteristics. We discover ourselves as incorruptible, immortal, perfect as He is perfect, united in one with God once more. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is Spirit, and only as we walk in the consciousness of Spirit can we rediscover that union we had with God from the beginning. Praise God. And when we have united in one with God, there is no more death. In Him there is light and there is no darkness at all. That is loss of awareness of God. That is death. Loss of the awareness of your consciousness or your oneness with God is death. Praise God. But as this veil is removed, you begin to recognize your oneness with God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You begin to be loosened from the elements of this world, you know. The things that you thought you were bound to, the things that you thought you were, you know, weak in, you discover that you are not weak, but you are perfect the way He's perfect. Oh, hallelujah. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. The Lord will wipe away all tears from your face. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more fatigue, no more fear, no more torment, no more anguish of soul. These things you've suffered in your humanity will be things of the past. It will be a nightmare past. Because you once more live in the light of His countenance with all assurance. Because you walk now with, you know, in one with the living God. Oh, hallelujah. This is the end of the faith, brethren. Is to bring you back into that consciousness. In that consciousness, you discover the paradise of God once more. You can say like Jesus that no one has been to heaven except I, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. You begin to enjoy the paradise of God once more. You begin to enjoy the place, you know, flowing with milk and honey. With streams flowing with milk and honey. You begin to enjoy the place of dust of gold. The place of sapphires. Oh, hallelujah. A place where there is no darkness. Where you are totally free, liberated from a sinful nature. Or rather, you are liberated from the illusion of a sinful nature. You will discover the way He is the way you are. Hallelujah. But all these things were hidden from us because we are wrapped around with the lies of the beliefs that, you know, created a wall, a kind of a consciousness of flesh and blood. We were wrapped in a consciousness or in the thought that we are separate from God. But when that skin is removed, you discover yourself one with God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the transformation that is occurring right now. It's occurring in the minds, in our consciousness. Oh, hallelujah. Paul talks about a mystery. A mystery that is occurring. A mystery. If you have ears to hear now. The mystery occurs in you, in your consciousness, in your mind. Hallelujah. As your ears are open to hear the voice of the Spirit, the breath of God. Hallelujah. As He blows, as He breathes, hallelujah, into us. Praise God. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of what? An eye. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Oh, hallelujah. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of, you know, death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as the trumpet sounds, and as He raises us up, we discover ourselves in Him. We discover ourselves united in one with Christ, with who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. In this union, there is no death. We are perfect. We are light. He's above the elements of this world. Praise God. In this union, you go back in that consciousness of oneness with the Father. I and the Father are one. See it. In that day, gone are the days of devil, Satan, or adversary, non-adversary. In that day, you discover your harmony, oneness with God. See it. No more guilt. No more sense of separation, but you see yourself walking, having your being in Him. Praise God. And you walk in the liberty of the Spirit and in the bountiful blessings of the Lord. Praise God. Now the trumpet is simply the truth, the voice of truth, coming from the breath of God. You know, when you blow a trumpet, you have the breath. The breath actually goes through the instrument, the trumpet, and it makes a sound. See, that is the voice of God. That's the breath of God. See it. As the evangel goes forth. See, when Jesus Christ was about to leave the scene, he breathed upon the disciples. He said, receive as I receive from the Father. And the disciples were instructed to go about also giving that same breath of God to the others who will receive them. The breath of God, trumpet of God, brings an awakening. Illumination. He reveals to us truth from the depths of God. No more the lies from the depths of Satan that veil us. As the truth comes forth, there is an unveiling. That consciousness of mortality and corruptibility, flesh and blood, is ripped apart. It's something in the mind. It's a consciousness. It's a state of mind. A state of being. We're not talking about the physical body here. Praise God. We're talking of a consciousness, an awareness that you walk in as you receive the knowledge of the truth. It elevates you from the beggarly elements of this world. As you are patiently hearing the trumpet sound and listening to it daily, hearing the voice, see, it lifts you up from the dust. It lifts you up from the, you know, consciousness of materialism, the consciousness of you know, the earthly man of the dust. That is the resurrection from the dead. See, the dead one, the man that is dead, is the one that is dead in his material sense of life. He's dead in his sense of being a mortal, sense of being a human being, sense of, you know, being flesh and blood, sense of attachment to the beggarly elements of this world. That is death. And along with all that comes, you know, your lust and your you know, your sinful nature, attachments to the beggarly elements of this world, and, you know, and separation from God, a defiled consciousness. Praise God. But when the truth comes, it restores you back to the state you were in the beginning. As the truth comes, that, you know, consciousness of corruptibility, flesh and blood, is ripped apart. That skin that was wrapped around Adam and Eve as they were driven out of the garden is stripped off by the voice of truth, and you rediscover your true self that was hidden from you. You discover that you are part and parcel of the Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And that is your liberation. That is your victory. See, I have come to give you life. I have not come to abolish the law, but I have come so that the law is fulfilled. Now, the law is fulfilled only through Christ, only as you rediscover yourself in that consciousness of light. Praise God. As you put on that consciousness of immortality and incorruptibility that you had from the foundation of the world. As you loosen yourself from the lies of your human existence and your attachments to this world to rediscover yourself in the Spirit, then you see yourself spontaneously fulfilling the laws of God. The laws of God cannot be fulfilled by flesh and blood. See, the laws of God cannot be, you know, flesh and blood cannot be subject to the laws of God. It's impossible because the laws of God are spiritual. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. They are spiritual. So only the spiritual can fulfill the law of God. And the Lord is the Spirit. Praise God. So it's all about receiving the breath, the truth of God, which is the last trumpet, the evangel, the truth. You shall know the truth shall set you free. The Father is quickening us with truth, you know, edifying us with truth so that we can come out from our bed, you know, the bed we've made in hell, and come out to enjoy the perfection of beauty, the love of God, the bountiful blessings upon the hills. Oh, hallelujah, upon the everlasting hills, so that we can sing once more the way it was from the foundation of the world. This is the will of God for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let us recognize who we are, what is in us, and has always been in us, and will always be us. Hallelujah. Is that personality of light. And if we allow the truth to work in us patiently, not being discouraged or being swayed, you know, to and fro by the contradictions, by the opposition you might face from people outside, you will discover yourself, or let's say you rediscover yourself in the place of life, singing, O death, O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, hallelujah. Because God will redeem us from the power of the grave. This is the promise of the gospel. And this is the marvel of all ages. Hallelujah. This is the greatest thing that can ever happen to a man. This is the wonder of all ages, when people are awake from the dead and rediscover themselves in the consciousness of light, the way they were from the foundation of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So put on your light body. Hallelujah. Put on that consciousness of light. Put on that consciousness of immortality. Hallelujah. Put on that eternal consciousness you had from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And entering to enjoy the love of God. Entering to the place of singing. Hallelujah. The Bible says that those that are in their graves cannot sing. They cannot praise God. The dead can't praise God. The dead don't know God. Hallelujah. Those who know joy and, you know, true happiness, true victory, are those who by the grace of God awake from their grave. Praise God. So this is the hour of the awakening. Says the hour comes when you will hear the voice of the Son of Man. The hour is here. Hallelujah. Those who do good are those who hear the voice. And you know, not just get away from the voice, but conform themselves to that voice. They will come out from the, you know, the realm of corruptibility. Hallelujah. Where worms feed on the souls of men, they will come out of that realm and get back into a place of light and life and delight. Praise God. Amen.